Hey everyone, welcome to the show. Ever think about how, I don't know, how facing death could actually help you live better?
Yeah, that's a pretty deep thought, isn't it?
It really is, and we're going to dive into that today with,
D. Randall Blythe.
yes, his memoir, Just Beyond the Light. It came out this year, 2025.
And it's really not what you would expect from,
A rock star memoir. I was kind of expecting, sex, drugs, and rock and roll, the usual stuff,
Oh,
but
it's got some of that,
it's
but
so much deeper.
it really is.
Blythe, he's the front man for Lamb of God. They've been a band for like 30 years.
Yeah, they're huge.
But he's also a writer and a photographer, and you can really feel that, I don't know, that extra dimension coming through in the book.
For sure.
If you want to check it out, we'll have a link in the episode description. And while you're down there, hit that like button and subscribe to the channel so you don't miss any future deep dives.
We do these all the time, all kinds of stuff.
All right, so Blythe really doesn't hold back in this book, does he? He goes right into his struggle with alcoholism.
Oh, yeah, he talks about battling it for over 20 years and how it messed up his whole view of the world.
Yeah, it's like he was, I don't know, living life with these blurry glasses on, and the only thing that was in focus was like the next drink.
That's a good way to put it.
And one of the things that stuck with me was how he realized that beating addiction isn't just about stopping the behavior.
Right, it's way deeper than that.
It's like a whole mental shift.
It's like he had to totally rebuild his, I don't know, his inner moral compass or something.
Totally. And he even shares this really powerful story about working on a roof and suddenly being frozen by fear.
Oh yeah, that part was intense.
It was. And I think it's something that so many people can relate to, that feeling of being paralyzed by fear,
Yeah.
even if it's not, a life or death situation.
Right, happens to all of us.
And Blythe, he connects this experience to our primal fight or flight response, which obviously makes sense on a rooftop. But he also talks about how in modern life, those same instincts get triggered by everyday anxieties.
Which, aren't actually that dangerous.
Yeah, but they feel dangerous in the moment,
Kind
right?
of friendly.
But then, get this, he contrasts the roof story with another story about encountering a shark while he was surfing.
Wait, a shark.
I know. Talk about a fear-inducing situation, right?
It's terrifying.
But what's crazy is that he describes staying totally calm, just paddling back to shore like it was no big deal.
So he's freaking out on a roof, but calm around a shark.
I know, right? It's almost like he's learned to control his reaction to fear, even if he can't completely eliminate it.
That's interesting.
What do you think that tells us about, his journey?
Well, I think it highlights a big theme in the book. Managing our response to fear is more important than trying to eliminate fear altogether.
So it's not about becoming fearless, it's about being brave in the face of fear. I
Exactly.
love that.
And this actually ties into one of Blythe's biggest worries about modern society,
Yeah.
the overwhelming nature of social media and all this technology.
He's not a fan.
No, not really. He thinks our brains just can't keep up with this constant flood of information.
He paints a pretty bleak picture, doesn't he? Like we're trading real human connection for this illusion of, I don't know, digital interaction.
Yeah, and he even brings up the Dunbar number, which says we can only have around 150 meaningful relationships.
But online, it's like we're bombarded with thousands of voices and opinions every single day.
No wonder we're all so stressed out.
Right. And he makes this really interesting comparison between ENIAC, the first computer,
Oh, wow.
and modern tablets. ENIAC was this massive thing, took a whole team of experts to operate it.
And now we've got little kids playing games on devices that are millions of times more powerful.
It really makes you think about how fast things are changing.
It's crazy.
So, do you think he's being a little dramatic about the whole technology thing? Or is there something to it? Like, are we really getting more isolated, even though we're supposedly more connected than ever?
Well, I think it's a good point. He's not anti-technology, but he wants us to think about how it affects our well-being,
Yeah.
and our relationships.
Yeah, it's a good reminder to ask ourselves, are we using technology or is it using us?
Right, exactly.
So if all this digital stuff is making us feel overwhelmed and disconnected, where do we go from here? Like, where do we find meaning and purpose?
Well, Blythe suggests we look to the real world through actions that actually help ourselves and other people.
He does talk a lot about that.
Yeah, and he shares this really heartwarming story about his grandmother. She lived through the Great Depression and World War II.
She sounds like a tough lady.
Oh, she was. She was strong and resilient, taught him a lot about perspective and gratitude.
So she was able to face all that hardship and still find joy.
Absolutely. He even tells this funny story about her driving. Well, let's just say enthusiastically after someone cut her off. This was on the way back from the grocery store.
Wait, what?
I know, right? So picture this. They're driving down the road, and this car cuts grandma off. She gets so mad, she floors it, speeding down these country roads and ends up crashing right into a pine tree.
Oh my
I know.
God.
Thankfully, they were both fine, but it shows, her spirit even in her later years.
That's incredible. It sounds like something out of a movie.
It does, doesn't it?
And I think it really illustrates this important idea that resilience isn't always pretty, you know? But it's crucial for dealing with life's curveballs.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
Like, his grandmother's story shows that a little humor and maybe even a little bit of feistiness can help us get through tough times. I
Definitely.
think we can all learn from her example.
Absolutely.
So let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll dive deeper into Blythe's journey to find meaning and purpose in a world that can feel pretty overwhelming.
Sounds good.
Don't go anywhere.
It's pretty wild how Blythe connects his grandma's story to his own decision to buy land in Ecuador and reforest it.
It does seem like kind of a jump, going from a car crash to like saving the rainforest.
Right.
What made him choose that particular project?
He doesn't really say directly, but I think it's his way of making a real difference in the world,
Right?
leaving a legacy that goes beyond music.
That's a good point.
And there's this element of like tackling a challenge head on, just like his grandma did.
Facing something huge, but ultimately rewarding.
Exactly.
And we can't forget how he's funding this whole thing, selling personalized video greetings on Cameo.
Oh, yeah, that's
Like,
hilarious.
here's this heavy metal icon doing happy birthday messages.
It's
It's
amazing.
so funny and kind of inspiring at the same time.
Totally. It shows a sense of humor,
Yeah.
and his willingness to be a little different, to step outside that typical rock star image.
Yeah, he's using his platform in a creative way to actually make a difference.
It really makes you think, like, what unconventional things could we be doing to solve the problems we care about?
That's a great question.
And speaking of tough issues, Blythe doesn't shy away from talking about death either.
Yeah, that part of the book is really powerful.
He shares this incredibly touching story about his friendship with a terminally ill fan named Wayne Ford.
Yeah, I remember that.
He spent time with Wayne at the end, just listening and being there for him.
It's a good reminder that sometimes the most meaningful thing we can do is just show up for someone, you know?
Absolutely.
And what I found interesting was that even when he's talking about death, Blythe still keeps his sense of humor.
He does, doesn't he?
Like, he talks about the fear and uncertainty we all feel, but also the need to just, like, accept it.
He even jokes about dying while surfing, saying at least people could honestly say he died doing what he loved.
That's dark, but it also shows how comfortable he is with the idea of, not being here anymore.
Like he's made peace with it.
Yeah, which is pretty amazing considering everything he's been through.
It really is.
This makes me think about his relationship with Todd Seaman, the fan who donated stem cells.
Oh, yeah, that's an incredible story.
Blythe actually traveled with him to D.C. before the donation and took him on a tour of the city.
Ending with a visit to the White House.
I know, right? What a gesture.
What's cool is that this visit to the White House happened to be 51 years to the day after Elvis Presley met with President Nixon.
No way.
Yeah, they had a good laugh about that.
That's wild. It's like these random moments can become these significant touchstones in our lives, you know?
Really?
It adds this whole other layer to their story, highlighting the unexpected connections we can make when we're open to new experiences.
And this idea of connection really ties into Bly's definition of art.
How so?
He describes art as like an expression of imagination that shows us a truth about what it means to be human.
He doesn't really care about labels, does he?
No, not really. It's more about the intent and the impact.
It's about sparking imagination and connecting us to something bigger than ourselves.
Right. And he even talks about how his own journey into music and photography was totally by chance.
Really?
Yeah, he never planned to be a heavy metal vocalist, and he kind of fell into photography after a conversation with a friend about making a documentary.
It's a good reminder that sometimes the most rewarding paths are the ones we don't expect.
Absolutely.
So we've talked about his personal journey, his thoughts on technology and art, but he also gets pretty real about social issues in the book,
Oh, yeah, he doesn't hold back.
especially when it comes to violence.
He's really critical of the whole thoughts and prayers thing. Like we need to actually do something.
He definitely has that punk rock spirit, calling out hypocrisy wherever he sees it.
And one thing I found really interesting was his suggestion that instead of focusing on what went wrong for people who commit violence, we should also look at what went right for people who face similar challenges but didn't become violent.
That's a really interesting perspective.
It's like he wants us to understand the resilience that helps some people thrive even when they're dealing with tough stuff.
It's about looking beyond the darkness and seeing the light, right?
Exactly.
And, you know, for someone with this hardcore image, he has a surprisingly tender message for young people who feel like outsiders.
Oh, yeah, that part was really sweet.
He tells them, that thing that makes you feel so different, whatever it is, is a superpower if you use it correctly.
It's so important for young people to hear that, especially in a world that's always telling them to fit in.
He's basically saying, embrace your weirdness, your uniqueness, because that's what makes you special.
And he assures them that there are other people out there who will get them, who will appreciate them for who they are.
Their tribe is out there waiting to connect.
It's a powerful message of hope.
It really is.
Yeah.
You know, it's inspiring to see how grounded Blythe still is, even after all this success. It really proves his point about finding your tribe, connecting with people who really get you, even if you're like a rock star.
Yeah, it's like fame and fortune don't erase that basic human need for connection, you know? We all want to feel seen and understood no matter what.
And he even talks about feeling isolated online sometimes, even though he's got millions of fans.
That's so interesting.
It's like he's surrounded by people, but still feels this disconnect.
It's that whole paradox of being super connected digitally, but still feeling lonely, right?
Exactly. He calls it drowning in information, but starving for real connection. Have you ever felt that way?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Especially with social media and everything.
It makes you wonder if all this technology is actually making us lonelier.
It's a good question, isn't it?
And he talks about going on these digital diets to get away from the noise.
I've tried that.
Really?
Yeah, I've found that taking breaks from social media like really helps my mental health.
I can see that.
It lets me be more present,
yeah,
you know, and connect with things that actually matter.
It's all about balance, right? Using technology as a tool, not letting it use us.
That's it.
And that idea of a balance comes up a lot in the book.
Oh, totally.
Like balancing his love of surfing with his music, his family, his activism.
He's always trying to find that sweet spot, you know?
Yeah, between taking care of himself and engaging with the world.
It's a tough balance.
But it's so important. And Blythe's story reminds us that it's okay to slow down and reevaluate our priorities.
Sometimes we need to step back from the chaos to figure out what really matters.
And one of the things that really struck me was how open he is about his own capacity for violence.
That was pretty powerful.
You could have easily skipped over that, you know?
But he doesn't shy away from it.
He recognizes that potential within himself, even as a sober adult.
It's a pretty vulnerable thing to admit.
And what's important is that he doesn't glorify violence.
Right. He sees it as a last resort.
And he brings up this idea that our actions can have ripple effects that we don't even realize.
Like that butterfly effect thing.
Yeah, exactly. He uses the example of his cocaine use and how it contributed to the drug trade.
That's heavy stuff.
He's saying that even small choices can have huge consequences, and we need to be aware of that.
It's about realizing that we're all connected.
Our lives are intertwined, even with people we've never met.
It's a big responsibility.
And it goes back to that idea of personal responsibility, which is such a big part of his message.
He's saying that we all have a part to play in making the world a better place.
And it starts with being aware of how our choices affect others.
That's a powerful message.
And it's interesting how he balances this awareness of darkness with his respect for his elders.
Like his grandmother.
He learned so much from her, especially about resilience and gratitude.
He tells the story about how her memory started to fade and she'd ask the same questions over and over.
Yeah, I remember that.
But he never got frustrated. He just saw it as her way of making sure her family was still there.
It's a beautiful lesson in patience and compassion.
And he encourages people to be there for their elders, even when they're dying.
It's a powerful message, especially in a society that's so afraid of death.
It's about respecting the cycle of life.
And Blythe's book does a fantastic job of bringing all these different ideas together, you know?
It really does.
His struggles, his activism, his art, it all connects.
It's a really honest and moving story.
It's not a simple story with easy answers. It's messy and raw, and that's what makes it so powerful.
It's about resilience and connection and finding meaning in the chaos.
And you know, it's ultimately a really hopeful book.
Yeah, it is.
It reminds us that even when things are tough, there's always beauty and possibility.
And the power of transformation.
This has been an incredible deep dive into Just Beyond the Light. What parts resonated most with you? What stuck with you? Head to the comments and let's talk about it.
And if you enjoyed this episode, share it with someone who might appreciate it.
Let's keep the conversation going.
Thanks for joining us.
Keep diving deep, everyone, and we'll see you next time.